But just to say that God being our Father, that revelation of God as Father, is not a new revelation. It's something that was there in the Old Testament, that Jesus, when he came, brought it even more to the forefront. But God was always trying to reveal himself as Father to us. Let's just read Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19. Jeremiah, the Lord says here, I myself said, how gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. This is God speaking to his people, speaking to those who had been in exile, and he's trying to let them know that I have been trying to relate to you as Father. And part of what he did for them as a father was to provide them with an inheritance, provide them with a land, and he calls this the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. That's part of what God, our Father, wants us to realize, that he is not only a God who disciplines us, but he's also a God who provides for us, who cares for us, who intervenes in our lives time and time again to show us his goodness, to show us his mercy. And so the Lord expected Israel to realize that and to respond to him as Father. It says in talking about David in Psalm 89 and verse 26, the Lord says, he's going to reveal himself to David, and he says, he, David, will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. And so he revealed himself to David in such a way that David could relate to God, this supreme God, this awesome God, as his Father. So again, it wasn't just a new thing. It was something that God was trying to get his people to see. And time again, Old Testament, it is there, trying to get his people to recognize him as Father. David said in Psalm 68 and verse 5 and 6, that God, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So God is trying to get people to see him as Father. Even those who don't have any earthly fathers. Even those whose earthly fathers might as well they didn't have them. They were, was perhaps so abusive, perhaps neglected you, perhaps mistreated you. And God is saying, even to people like that, he wants them to see him as Father. To relate to him as Father. And it's a very, very important revelation that God wants us to grasp and to embrace, because out of that comes a whole set of ways in which God wants us to live. God wants us to understand him. So when Jesus came, the primary revelation Jesus came to give us of God is God as Father. And we know God is all different revelations, all different things to us. We know he's our healer. We know he's our deliverer. We know that he is our strong tower. But when Jesus came, he spent a lot of his time trying to teach his disciples, trying to teach the people around that the fact is God is our Father. And he says in John that he has come to reveal that to us. John 1 verse 18. To reveal to us God as Father. When he was teaching on prayer, like in Matthew 6, for example, teaching on that prayer, that pattern prayer, it starts out by saying, our Father who art in heaven. You're praying to someone who is your Father, not just God out there, which is, fine, he's still God out there, but he wants it to become very personal. I am your Father. And so as you pray to me, you need to have that revelation in your mind. That this great, awesome God who spoke the world, the universe into existence, wants to relate to you and to me as Father. Now it becomes difficult for many of us because, most of us don't have a close relationship with our earthly fathers. In fact, I asked this question somewhere before, and I'll ask again, which day of the year do you think there's the most communication taking place through the internet, through the phones? Which day of the year do you think that happens the most, the highest? Mother's Day. It's a fact. It's something we discovered when I was an engineer in telecommunications. People are always trying to contact their mother on Mother's Day, if it's just to say Happy Mother's Day. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. Not everyone celebrates Thanksgiving. But everybody wants to contact their mother. Father's Day. It's true. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And yet God wants us to see Him as our Father. So it means we have to be able to transcend our earthly fathers, no matter how good they were or how bad they were. We have to be able to transcend that and get a revelation from the Spirit of God of what it means to have this awesome God as our Father. When Jesus was being baptized, a story many of you should know well. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. No, this happened. Jesus hadn't done any miracles yet. He hadn't preached a sermon yet. All he did was to get baptized and was about to launch out into his ministry. And of course, he was led into the wilderness after that to be tempted by the devil. But God the Father couldn't keep quiet. He didn't just speak to Jesus. You know, he could have done that internal witness. But the Bible says that he spoke from the heavens. And the people all around could hear this voice saying, you are my son whom I love, and I'm pleased with you. That's powerful. Because what happens for us as humans is that we are continually trying to please people, trying to even please God, without realizing that God says he's already pleased with us. If you know Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, God is already pleased with you. So you don't do things to try and win his pleasure because he's already pleased with you. It's because he's pleased with you that gives us the freedom now to go and minister to others. And so for Jesus, I mean, he never committed any sin. He never did anything wrong. And yet still the Father in heaven thought it important enough to let him know that you are my son whom I love. My father grew up in a generation where they were very reserved. I mentioned it before, where they said children must be seen and not heard. I cannot remember my father telling me he loves me. From the generation he came from, they didn't see it as important to actually say that they love you. Now, I know he loved me because they work hard to take care of us as kids. So I know that he loved me, but to hear it. If Jesus needed to hear it, and he was perfect, how much more do you and I need to hear it? And so time and time again, you read the scriptures, you'll see God saying to his people, I have loved you in the Old Testament with an everlasting love. And that's why I've drawn you unto myself. John, in writing his gospel, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God wants us to hear his voice speaking to us, saying that he loves us. And I mentioned it last week, that as parents, and adults and uncles and aunts, we need to let the next generation know that they are loved. Speak it, say it, declare it, so they can hear it. Don't just think it. And so here was Jesus, hearing for himself. He already knew God was Father. When he was 12, it says to us in Luke's gospel that his parents were looking for him. They'd left him behind. And he was there in the temple talking with the scribes and others. And when his parents came, he said to them, "Why were you looking all over the place for me? Don't you know," one version says, "I must be my Father's house." The King James says, "I must be about my Father's business." He was only 12, but he knew God as Father from that age. So he didn't really need to hear again when he was 30 that, you know, "You are my son." But yet the Father thought it necessary to declare it again, "You are my son, whom I love, and I'm pleased with you." Many of us, it's hard for us to even think that God would say that to us. Because we have been brought up hearing so much negative things. That to actually think that God is pleased with us is hard for some of us to actually to grasp. We have been told that this God is such an angry God that's waiting for you to slip up so he can hit you over the head. And so to hear God saying, "I'm pleased with you," is like, that he couldn't be talking to me. But he said, friends, when you know that God is pleased with you, it actually brings freedom. You're not trying to win his favor anymore. You're not trying to twist his arm. You're just trying to walk in who you are because my Father already loves me. A lot of people are out there trying to find themselves. And if they only knew who God was as their Father, it would bring this freedom. It would bring this identity. Oh, help us, Lord. The apostles already talked to us about God being Father. John says, 1 John 3, it says, "Beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be like, but we know we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is." And it says, "Now are we the children of God." No! No, we have been called to function as children of God. No, God sees us as his children. Paul says all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Paul says that the Spirit has been placed inside of us, and this Spirit cries out, "Abba, Father." Not just "Abba, God," but "Abba, Father." The Spirit of God inside of us is trying to give us a revelation of God as our Father. My father was a functional alcoholic. And now that I'm a father myself, I can appreciate some of the things that, you know, you might have been trying to deal with. But the reality is that I can't compare God the Father to my earthly father. If I do, I'm going to miss it. And I'm saying this to all of us. God is much better. I mean, not even the same category in how God is good to us, how God loves us, how God cares for us, how God provides for us, how God sees us, how God celebrates us. Oh, help us. The story of the prodigal father, story which most of us know, gives us a glimpse into how the Heavenly Father sees us. Many of you know the story in Luke chapter 15 that this father had two sons, and the younger son came and said, "Give me my inheritance." And in those days, even today, you could get a part of your inheritance. And so the father gave him his inheritance. And in Luke chapter 15, it says in verse 13, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country where they squandered his wealth in wild living." So he got his inheritance and went to a distant land. And that by itself, by very nature, tells you this young man was trying to get away from the influence of his earthly father. He went somewhere where his earthly father couldn't have any involvement in his life. He went to this distant land and wasted all of his resources, doing his own thing, living his own way. Later on, his older brother says he wasted his money on harlots and doing all sort of stuff which would have been displeasing to his earthly father. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. There are some principles there that many times we miss. That in the time of plenty, in the time when things are good, it's a time to plan for the rainy season. They used to tell me, say, you must put aside something for the rainy day. Because just when they waste everything is when hardship hit. That's what happened to this young man. He wasted all of his resources. He lived as if everything was always going to be nice and easy. And when he ran out of resources, no hard times, he hit the entire economy. And he had to sell himself. He had to attach himself, the word says, to a Gentile man who says, okay, I have some pigs. You can go and feed the pigs. Which if you understand the context for a Jewish person, that's really is a very low place to reach in life. Because a pig is considered to be an unclean animal, and here you are taking care of pigs. And the Bible says that the pigs, the food that the pigs were eating, the young man started to long for some of the food that the pigs were getting. It shows you how bad life was. And somewhere in the middle of all of that situation, that circumstance, the Bible says he came to his senses. Somewhere something happened, something clicked. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he says, you know what? My father's hired servants have food to spare. And here I am starving to death. I don't know if you've really ever been hungry. But this man was hungry. That the pig's food looked good. To show you how bad things were. And he said, you know what? Even the people who work for my father, when they're working for my father, they have more than enough food. It's a picture of God our Father. That when God our Father provides for us, he provides more than enough. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, there was more than enough. In the Father's house, there's more than enough. Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. So when you know that God is your Father, you know that there's more than enough provisions. And this young man says, you know what? This don't make a lick of sense. I'm better off if I go and work for my father than here I am fighting with the pigs for food. And many of you have seen it in the lives of people. They've got their lives in such a mess you can see them actually fighting with the pigs for stuff. And you're wondering, what on earth are you doing, kid? Get up. Get out of that circumstance. It's a mess. So he says, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you and I've messed up my life. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Can I just work for you? And the Bible says, so he got up and went to his father. Verse 20, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him. That alone tells us a whole heap. Amen. While he was a far way off, his father saw him. It wasn't the servants who saw him and says, your son coming back. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't one of the hired men. It wasn't one of the slaves. It was a father who was always looking out. Wondering if one day this boy is going to come to his senses. It's a picture of God our Father who's always looking out for us. Earlier on in Luke, it tells the story of the man who lost one sheep, the shepherd, and he leaves the 99 and go and look for the one. And then the woman who lost one coin, and she leaves the 9 coins and go and search for the one. And the picture says that our Father comes looking for you and comes looking for us. We are the ones who are usually hiding, like Adam and with sin. But God the Father comes looking for us. He doesn't like that kid again. No, he's like, I gotta go find my son. I gotta go find my daughter. And so his father comes looking for his son. And he sees him from afar off. And does something that in that culture is unthought of. The father runs towards his son. It says he was filled with compassion for him. That's what David was saying when he says, as a father has compassion on his son, so God has compassion on us. Our God is a God full of compassion. It didn't say as his father saw him, his father was angry. Get that picture out of your mind. Your God is first and foremost a God of love and compassion, who's plenteous in mercy, full of goodness. All good gifts that come down to us from the Father of lights. And so he was filled with compassion. He could see. And he ran to his son. It was unthought of, undignified for this statesman to run towards his own son. Now, what is the son supposed to run towards the father? But God our Father comes running towards us. Oh, help us, Lord. I hope we can get this revelation. And he threw his arms around him, gave him a good embrace. How many have ever seen, I've been around people who do pig farming? Have been around any pig farmers? Yeah? Why are you laughing? I've been in an office where a pig farmer passed through. It doesn't have the nicest of smells. If this guy was taking care of pigs, trust me, he's not smelling too nice. Had it been today, the father would be like, you need to go and take a bath first. But the father ran towards his son in all of his mess, all of his stuff, all of his smelly situation, and embraced him. Hugged him. Friends, that's what God does for you and for me in the middle of our stuff, in the middle of our mess, when life is crazy, when we have done the most stupid things. God the Father runs towards us and embraces us. He doesn't say, go clean yourself up first. He runs towards us, embraces his son, and the Bible says, kisses his son, and I'm thinking, what? I don't know if this is where Kenny get it from, but but friends, that's a sign of acceptance and greeting. This smelly, stinky boy who has wasted all of my resources. God the Father runs towards him, hugs him, kisses him. Why is it important, friends? It's because sometimes we do so awesome of stupid stuff. And we need to know that our Father will come towards us. That our Father will always welcome us. There's nothing that we can do that will drive our Father away from us. And the son, verse 21, said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And what's the father's response? Once the father sees this boy coming back, the father knows he's already changed his mind, changed his life. He's already repented in terms of the language we use today. And so the father said to his servants, quick, hurry, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. You know what that means? The robe signifies that you're now back as part of the family. The robe signifies position. The best robe, not just any robe. The best robe put back on this young man who has wasted his father's resources. He's now accepted back into the family, back into his rightful position. Putting a ring on his finger signifies authority. He now has authority to continue to function as a father's son, to represent the father. Just as Jesus represented his father. He says, I want to do what I see my father doing. I want to say what I hear my father saying. No, this son is back in the position to function on the behalf of his father. The same father who he disgraced, his father accepts him back and says, no, you have the authority to function. Putting sandals on his feet, that already tells you that he was barefooted. It was the slaves in those days who went around barefooted. And now the father said, no, I'm not accepting you as a slave. I'm accepting you back as a son. Put some sandals on his feet. Give him some dignity. You understand what I'm saying, saints? That's how our Father sees us. And he wants us to see ourselves as people of dignity, people of authority, people who have a relationship with the position. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what kind of mess you got yourself into. He's like, that is still my son. That is still my daughter. I still love them. A lot of people have difficulty with God because they don't realize how God sees them. A lot of people are depressed and distressed in life because they don't see how God sees them. If you could get a real glimpse as to how our Father sees us, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the fear, a lot of the stuff will fade to the side. The same way we're talking earlier about the earthly fathers who are prone to do evil, the same way earthly fathers generally try and look after their children and protect them, how much more our Heavenly Father? Oh, wow. And then the father said, it's time to celebrate. It's time to have a party. I don't know what picture you have in your mind of your God. If you think that your God the Father is some stoic, like a judge up there, I don't know where you get that picture from. That might come towards the end of time. But right now, he's a father who rejoices over his children. A God who this is his more joy in his presence for one sinner who comes back. God delights in us and he celebrates us. He sings over us. Your friends might not sing over you, might not delight in you. Your earthly parents might not, but I can tell you, your Heavenly Father does. Oh, help us, Lord. So in the celebration, both people are celebrating, both father and son. The son is celebrating because his father has accepted him back. And the father is celebrating because my son has come back home. And when the older brother comes home and he hears all the celebration, the older brother is like some old-time legalistic Christians who tell us, hey, you shouldn't really be enjoying your walk with God. You should always have a somber face. I have some friends who went to a church like that in Wales. That if you smile and you laugh too much, you think something is wrong. Because you must mourn and grieve over the conditions of people. Which I understand you must mourn and grieve, but I don't think God wants us to walk around with a long face. I think God wants us to really delight in our God, to realize how good God is. Worship should come freely. It should be natural for us to worship because God has been so good to us. And when the people see the smile on your face, when they see the joy of the Lord on you, they want to know what's happening in your life. Then you can tell them about your good father. But if you walk around like a sourpuss, then I didn't want to ask you any question. And so the older brother comes home and he sees the celebration and he Ask some of the servants, what's going on? Verse 25 of Luke 15. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on in that place? Why are they so loud at Cross Creek? What's going on? Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. I'm not going in. So his father does another undignified thing. He went out and pleaded with him to come in. He left his guest inside. That's undignified. You're not supposed to do that. You can't invite people to your house and then you go on outside and leave them. Not in that culture. And the father is begging the son to come inside. Again, that's undignified of a father to do. It's my house. I can have a party anytime I want to have it. If you don't like it, tough. But God the Father is like, no, come, let's celebrate together. You don't understand the father's heart. As a big brother, you should be celebrating too. Your brother has come back home. It's a part of the problem for us in the church. Sometimes we find it hard to celebrate the successes of other people. When they get success, when they get blessed, some people get envious. When their children are successful, it's like, well, what about my children? But God wants us to be able to celebrate the successes, celebrate the blessings of each other. Oh. You know, there's a lot I want to say, but I don't know if I have time. So this older brother, whenever you know the story, says in verse 26, he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, and you never gave me anything. Because you were serving God with a slave mentality. If you see your father as some harsh taskmaster, then you're serving him out of fear. You're serving him like a slave, and you're not really enjoying the Christian walk. You're fearful that you might mess up and he slaps you across the face or something. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants you to delight in serving him. That God wants you to see him as a father. And therefore it becomes a delight to do the father's will. And so you can do it with joy. You can enjoy the father's presence. Because the father really wants to give us a good embrace. Not just a little side embrace, but a good embrace. You know what I mean? When you're fearful and you get a good embrace, the fear and anxiety falls to the side. To know your father says, I got this. I'm going to take care of this. The same way that little child hurts him or herself, and you pick that little child up and hug that little child, and the child stops crying. It's the same thing God wants us to realize. As you draw close to him and he lifts us up and gives us a good hug, your fear and anxiety flees, and he allows him by his spirit not to touch us where we're hurt and bring healing. And so the father said to the older son, verse 31, my son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. You can have a party anytime you want. You can delight in God anytime you want. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord with gladness, to enjoy the presence of your father. Oh, I don't know why they made watches. What I like about Cross Creek, there's no clock back there. Let me just share quickly with us, highlight some stuff about the significance of a father's embrace, of the father, Father in heaven. It signifies acceptance and assurance. When that father ran towards his son and embraced him, because I'm sure the son had all sorts of anxiety, all sorts of worries. I wonder what my father is going to say to me. I wonder how he's going to treat me. But when that father ran towards him and hugged him, he knew he was accepted. He knew he had the assurance that, yes, I'm in a better place. It shows him the idea of welcome home, son. This is where you belong. You don't have to prove yourself. You are my son and I love you. Welcome home. It's an experience of love and compassion. It says a father had compassion on his son. That's why he ran towards him. So the son knows, I don't need to fear anymore because my father loves me. My father delights in me. My father looks at me and he's touched when he realizes the condition I've got myself in. And he doesn't say, get away from me. He says, come towards me, son. The embrace of our Heavenly Father is an offer of comfort. It's an offer of healing. Allow the Spirit of God to touch us and bring healing. It's the idea that you're taken care of. I have provision for you in my Father's house. There's a place for all of us. And he cares for each one, every one of us. It's a place of rest. I'm home. I don't have to do anything. I just relax. It's a place of security and protection. The enemy can't come too close because I'm in my Father's arms. It's a place where I experience intimacy with the Father. And I put in the notes there, it's a place where the Father releases his blessing into our lives. You see, even when Jesus was, the children were brought to Jesus to be blessed. In Mark chapter 10, the disciples tried to chase the parents away. Disciples were like, don't you see how many sick people are here? We're bringing a little child for the rabbi to bless. And Mark says when Jesus saw what was happening, Jesus became angry. He became indignant according to the language in the Greek. Very few times Christ got angry. He even got angry at his disciples. And that was one of the times. Because they were preventing the little children from coming to him. And so after he stopped them, they brought the children to him. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, he took the children in his arms. He didn't just touch them on the head. He took them into his arms. He gave them a good embrace and blessed them. You see, in the embrace of the Father, the blessings of God are released. The destiny becomes more real. You understand your identity. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. So as Sean comes back, there are some stuff, some hindrances to us experiencing the Father's embrace. We don't have time to talk about the blessing of the Father. We did that a couple of years back. To show us the importance of a blessing and how the blessing can change your life and your destiny. As it did with Jacob. The day his father blessed him, that very night, the supernatural realm was opened up to Jacob. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon his father. Upon the ladder coming down. Because the Father's blessing was released into his life. And that's why Joseph took it as priority to bring his sons to Jacob to have them blessed. To release the Father's blessing into their lives. Many of us, you know what happened to us? We have received the Father's curses into our lives. They have spoken negative things over us rather than blessings. But our Father is supposed to release God's blessings into your life so you can fulfill your destiny. And so some of the hindrances is when there's an absence perhaps of a father around, or they might be physically around, but there's an absence of them functioning in a godly way. And so it makes it more difficult for us to relate to God, our Father. Some of us have been hurt and mistreated by our earthly fathers. And so it makes it hard for us to relate to God as our Father. Some fathers mistreat their children, verbally abuse them, physically abuse them, sexually abuse them. And that becomes a hindrance to us experiencing the true love from our Heavenly Father. Some of our earthly fathers were harsh and legalistic. You couldn't be yourself around them. You couldn't even be a child around them. And so we think that our Heavenly Father is the same way. But I have news for you. Our Heavenly Father knows what we are like, and He wants us to be ourselves in His presence. If you like to laugh, laugh before your Father. And then some of us have reacted to some of these things and have held unforgiveness against our earthly fathers. And friends, if there's unforgiveness, it prevents our Heavenly Father from releasing that love into our lives. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 18 as He taught on forgiveness. He said, if you won't forgive, then your Heavenly Father is going to have to hand you over to the tormentors. It makes it impossible for you to receive God's love, God's grace. It makes it impossible for you to relate to your Heavenly Father as Father, because there's unforgiveness. Friends, let me tell you something. There's no perfect earthly fathers. Many of them mess up and mess up bad. And what God wants us to do is to just forgive them, release them, so you can experience your Heavenly Father as He wants you to experience Him. So let us stand. And just to throw this in for good measure, being a parent is the most difficult job on the face of the earth. I think it's more difficult than being president. Because after your 4 years finish or your 8 years finish, you can go on with your life. But as a parent, your children always remember the stuff you did and didn't do. You can do 99 good things, but that one little bad thing, they will remember it. And so that's why you and I, we have to be able to forgive our earthly fathers, so we can experience the love that our Heavenly Father has for us, so that we can share that love with others. Let us bow our heads this morning. I had to forgive my earthly father. Yes, he worked hard, but because he was an alcoholic, then he was verbally abusive. I had to come to that place to release him and to forgive him, so that I can experience God as Father. And God is continuing to teach me more about what it means to have Him as my Father. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing relationship. But this morning, if there's something that you need to forgive your earthly father for, so you can experience God's the true revelation of Heavenly Father, I'm going to invite you to come on up onto this side. I'm not going to ask you what it is. I don't need to know what it is. But I believe sometimes as we forgive, as we act out that forgiveness, that's when the release actually comes. And so if there's something, no matter how small it is, it might be insignificant in the minds of others, but it's significant to you, that you need to release to the Heavenly Father this morning because of what your earthly father may or may not have done. May have neglected you, whatever it is. Sometimes in divorce situations, all sort of stuff happens. But this morning, if you are in that category, I'm going to encourage you to come on over here, so we can pray with you and release that. Then there's some others of you. A couple of years ago, when I shared on the Father's blessing. And I remember Alicia and Bud testifying about the release it brought into their lives. And so this morning, if you are in that category where, you know, you never got a blessing from your father, and this morning you're saying, Joe Campbell, will you stand in the place of my father and release the blessings of the father into my life? I'm going to invite you to come on this side to release that blessing. So, now's your time to respond. There's something you need to forgive. Come on this side. If there's a blessing, the Father's blessing you want to be released into your life, as a responsibility of fathers to release that blessing. Christ saw it as important. Jacob saw it as important. Joseph saw it as important. The blessing of the Father. Then come on this side and release that blessing into your life this morning. Anybody? Anybody else? God the Father wants us to be able to experience His embrace. Anybody else?